Joseph, we talked about the bride, and I know the Bible talks about the 144,000. These are the bride, right?
No. Yes and no. No, the 144,000 is not only the only bride. No, it's not at all. Because the woman protected Revelation 12, Revelation 12, 6 and 14, is not the 144,000. You understand? Because the 144,000 are God's elite, God's leaders.
Isn't that the bride? Like you were telling us that the church is divided in and on faithful virgins and the faithful ones.
Yes.
So isn't this the elite, the faithful ones?
But listen, the woman is going to be hiding. She's not going to be too active. Mm-hmm. But God is going to have active Christians, which are the top of the top. It's kind of, to give an idea, the bride is like the angels. And the 144,000 are like the archangels. You understand? It's like in Revelation chapter 7, it talks about the 144,000 in the beginning. It talks, and there's an angel who says to another angel, don't hurt the earth or the sea until we finish sealing the 144,000. Why does it say that? It says that because the 144,000 are supposed to jump into the fire, so to speak. You understand? And they need to be protected. They need to have a very special protection. So there's a kind of like, I remember in Daniel chapter 3, when the three children of Israel were thrown into the furnace of fire, that Jesus went inside the fire to protect them. Mm-hmm. All right, it's going to be something like that, that you can go into the fire and not be burned. You know, you can walk on the water, you can do greater works than Jesus, John 14, 12. To give you an idea, look, I'm going to read you some scripture to give you an idea. There are some examples in the Bible of what I'm talking about. Okay, this is just a little an example. I'm talking about two guys here that they seem to be like the leaders of these 144,000. They appear to be the leadership. And we find this in Revelation 11. And it says, verse 3, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's the whole length of the tribulation. You find this everywhere, right? Especially in Revelation 13, 5, 42 months. It's the same length. And these are two olive trees, two candlesticks, standing before the God of the earth. Okay, also in the book of Zechariah talks about these two guys. So these guys appear to be like the leaders of the active church in the Great Tribulation that will actively stand against the Antichrist. So they're going to be probably the leaders of the 144,000. They are two very special guys. You know, kind of like when, Jesus had the Moses and Elijah appearing to him on the Mount of Transfigurations. You know, they were like the two special assistants assisting Jesus. You know, what to do, what not to do. They are like a godly council. Now, some people are saying that the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. Mm-hmm. The Bible doesn't say that, okay? So, personally, I don't think so, but it doesn't matter. They're just a bunch of opinions. They will be whom God says they will be. They will be. Okay, anyway, these two guys are going to they're going to do mighty works, like he also says in Daniel, where he talks about the abomination of desolations and the great tribulation, Daniel 11, 31 to 35. At verse 32, he says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. While verses 33 until 35, you see the distractions of the of the rest of the Christians. Some are going to be teaching, others are going to be burned, killed by the sword, by captivity, by flame, many days. But in verse 32, it says, they that do know their God, virgin with oil, active Christian, they shall be strong and do exploits, mighty works, miracles. So they will actively stand against the Antichrist, and this expects what the 144,000 are going to do, and that's why they're going to be sealed, so they can jump in the midst of the action. And the Antichrist cannot really do much against them because they have this special protection. Understand? Keep reading. I keep reading from Revelation 11. So he still talks about these two guys, these very important leaders, the top leaders in the world, okay, during the Great Tribulation, top leaders of God, right? Verse 5. Okay, it says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So they will kill anybody who get near with bad intention. Remember in, I think it was 2 Kings chapter 1, when Ahab is sent, a king sent to Elijah 51 soldiers to capture. Say, man of God, come down, the king wants to see you. Hey, who do you think you're talking to? If I'm a man of God, you better get on your knees. So he said, well, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and kill you. So fire came down from heaven and killed the 51. So the king said, okay, send another 51. You know, the mercenary, why doesn't he go? So he sent another 51. He said, hey, man of God, the king wants you. Come on. Man of God, attention, king is talking to you. And Elijah said, if I'm a man of God, fire from heaven and kill you all. You know, talking about Ahab, who killed all the prophets, all the, Ahab and Jezebel, who put the idolatry in Israel, killed the prophets, etc. So Elijah said, let fire come down. If I'm a God. So the fire came down and killed another 51. That's 102. So the king sent another 51. And, First Kings chapter 1. I mean, what a hard head, this guy. So again, this guy, when he got there, he was like a lunar nightmare. I can imagine when your horse, imagine the scene, okay, on your horse, you know, stomping and trying to, on these burned bodies, barbecued, burned, you know, it must have been some scene. So imagine these guys, what an inspiration this guy had to go to the king, to the man of God, and he was sitting on a little hill, with the 102 bodies just fuming, still fuming all around. So this guy, he got the hint. So he got off the horse, he just cast himself on the ground and said, man of God, have mercy on me, lay my life and these 50 guys here be precious, please. And so God spoke to Elijah and says, it's okay, you can go. That's Elijah that was scared in the first king. So he went and he blasted Ahab with another rebuke and everything. So it's going to be kind of like this. Fire proceeds from the mouth. In other words, the mouth. I don't think they're fire blower like those guys in the circus. I think it's more like they command with their mouth, fire on you. And then you see this fire just blowing up helicopters and jets plane and bombers and tanks and whatnot. They just go bang, 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 choo, choo. And you see the Antichrist just blowing up like in those Hollywood movies, you know, in the air. Two nights ago, we watched Left Behind Part 1, which they got the chronology wrong, by the way, because the rapture's after. But anyway, we enjoyed the movie anyway. And all of a sudden, these Antichrist planes invading Israel, all of a sudden, they begin to blow up in the sky. And then a prophet shows up. And he starts prophesying about the 7-year covenant. See, the guy in the movie, the prophet, represented one of these two guys. Yes. So in that part, the movie got it right. They got it wrong. They got it wrong in other parts. So, verse 6: these are power to shut heaven that it rains not in the days of the prophecies, and have power over water to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. All right? So these guys, you talk about national catastrophes, you talk about tsunamis, you talk about earthquakes, you talk about tornadoes. That's these guys that can do whatever they want. You know, like Moses turning the 10 plagues of Egypt. It's going to be something like that, and more so. Understand?
Now, are this...
Yes.
Yeah, no, I wanted to finish. So basically, the 144,000 are going to be along this line. I mean, these guys, of course, are the leaders, all right? The top leaders, they're going to be in Jerusalem. This is going to happen in Jerusalem, it says in the chapters. Okay, in the same city where the Lord was crucified, that's Jerusalem. So they're going to prophesy as soon as the Antichrist puts abomination, desolations, and he controls all the media and the newspaper, and the world is going to be under the Antichrist. It's like we're going to be fed by listening to the Antichrist news of what God is doing. There is not going to be a Christian channel broadcasting. I don't expect it. But we're going to know what's going on, knowing the prophecy, by what the Antichrist is complaining about. They're going to say something like, hello, hello, this is ANN, not CNN, ANN, like Antichrist Network News. And two strange terrorists are in Jerusalem, and they are destroying our valiant, heroic forces who are trying to go there to make peace, quotes and quotes. But they attack our forces who are trying to bring peace. In reality, the other way around, of course. You know, they try to go kill those guys. They defend and blow them up. But the news never tell you what's really going on. You get in this world, you get the news according to Nazi, according to communist, according to American, etc. You never know what's really going on. You know the Bible. And so you're going to find out, and very inspiringly so, what is happening in the world by what the devil and the Antichrist media is complaining about. And they said, this guy is going to be blowing up whatever they want. They point the finger, and talk about missiles. You know, missiles takes a long time to carry that click, and he goes, this guy just point the finger. Yes?
Yes, I want to ask you, these two prophets, and actually all the 144,000, they are Jews, right? Because the book of Revelation enumerates the 12 tribes of Israel.
They're Jews, but attention, spiritual Jews. Okay.
What does it mean, spiritual Jew?
Well, it means like don't fall into the false doctrines that God has two people, two Jews, that God has two covenants and two nations. You know?
No, he has one covenant with Israel, no?
Yes, but what about the Christians? What covenant does he have with the Christians? Second covenant?
Well, that's the New Testament, yeah.
Well, so which is valid now? The Old Testament, the old one, or the new one?
They're not both.
No, God doesn't have two people, two covenants. God is like, there is one God, one Savior, one Christ, one baptism. See, look, let me explain to you. There is a lot of confusion, okay, about this. Because the people go to... I know there have been a lot of false prophecies, a lot of false doctrines on this. People go to the book of Revelation, for example, Revelation chapter 7, it talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And they say, you see, the 144,000 are Jews. Wrong. You know, they're not Jews, at least not the Jews of the geographical Middle East, political, modern Israel that restarted in 1948. No. The Jews of Revelation chapter 7, let me tell you exactly who they are. In fact, we're talking about the 144,000 again.
Exactly, yes.
So let me read. Let me see if you get it by the scripture. Okay, I am now in Romans chapter 2, okay, verse 28, I think, and Paul is saying, he is not a Jew which is outwardly, neither is he circumcised. Neither is the circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You understand?
Yes.
So he's saying here, there are not two Jews, two Israel, two God's people. There is still one Jew, one Israel, one God's people, the Christians. So the true Jews are not those circumcised in the flesh, children of Abraham in the flesh. But the true Jews are those in the body of Christ. But let's keep reading. Look, Romans chapter 9. Look what it says here. Verse 6. Not all Israel are of Israel. Neither because they are the seeds of Abraham are they children. But in Isaac shall the seed be called. That is, they which are children of the flesh, you know, flesh Israel, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for seed.
Sorry. They which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God.
You understand? It's like Israel or the flesh is, they're not children of God.
I understand.
Okay, let me give you more scripture, because I know this is very controversial, but it's very, very important.
It's very clear, though. I never saw it so clearly.
Yeah, it's very important we understand these things. It's all in the Bible. We just have not to believe the false prophets. Because, you see, a lot of Jews turned into Christianity, but they are preaching like the Messiah, like a messianic Christianity. But I tell you, the word Messiah in the whole New Testament is quoted only one time by the Christians. And it's, it's like Jesus. It's not called the Messiah anymore in the New Testament. It's called Christ. The Messiah is an Old Testament, old terminology. So today, these Messianic Jews, that they keep insisting about the Messiah, they do that to give an Old Testament flavor. In other words, to bring Judaism into Christianity. But the word Messiah was not emphasized in the New Testament. They were going into the New Testament, Christ. So in this sense, so these Jews who got converted to Christianity, they don't think they are normal Christian. They are a little above than Christian. They are a few millimeters, maybe a few meters, spiritually speaking, above, because they are not just Christian. They are Jewish Christians. So this is a false doctrine. Understand? Look, let me read Galatians 3:28, what it says. Galatians 3:28. What does it say? It says, for there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be, 29, and if you be Christ's, if you are of Christ, then you are Abraham's seed according to the promise.
That's very nice.
You see, there is no, you see here, very, very clear, 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. You see, the Jew doesn't exist anymore. It is just the body of Christ.
Yeah, also verse 29. If you belong to Christ, you are the seed of Abraham, even if you were never a real Jew.
Yeah, it's not that in heaven God's people are going to be called Jew because of the tribe of Judah, who was the son of Jacob. Who's Jacob? Nobody. Who's Judah? Nobody. Who's everything? Jesus Christ.
In fact, I'm thinking now, why in Revelation 7 it enumerates the tribes with their names, if they don't even exist anymore?
No, they do exist still. They still exist. Look, let me go to another scripture. See, Matthew 21, in verse 43,
yes.
Jesus talking to the Jews, and he says, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nations, another nations, okay, which is not Israel of old, bringing forth the fruit thereof. Okay, and then verse 46, they sought, 45, then the chief priest and the Pharisees heard this, they perceived he was speaking of them. So it's so clear, Jesus speaking of the Pharisee, and the priest said, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you. If you read Hosea chapter 1, the prophet, God told Hosea, go marry a prostitute, representing Israel, the prostitute. And so, and generate children of prostitution, like Israel is doing. And so he started giving name, prophetic, to the children. Call them Ruhama, Loami, this kind of name. And then the significance of this name means they are not my people anymore. And I'm not your God. Hosea chapter 1. You're not my people, and I'm not your God. Hosea. Okay, and Jesus says here, the kingdom of God shall be taken away. Why? Because they crucified Jesus. For God's sake, would you marry somebody who crucifies you, kills you?
No way.
You, let's say you are God. You go and say to someone, can you marry me? Just a second, he shoots you. He kills you, actually. Of course, Jesus resurrected, but nevertheless, they killed Jesus.
Yes.
You think you're still going to marry them? Look what he's saying. It shall be taken away from you. Why? And now the Jews are spiritual. Now you ask a very smart question. You said, but then why in Revelation 7
it enumerates
the names of the tribes? Very, very good questions, you know. So you ask very smart questions here. Well, let me give you a scripture here. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Who is James writing to?
To the 12 tribes scattered abroad.
Yeah, who are these tribes? Who is he writing to? Which tribe is he writing to?
Tribes of Israel.
Yeah, which Israel? The ones who are trying to kill him? He's writing, the epistle of James, is it a letter to the Jews or to the Christians?
To the Christians.
Yes, how does he call them? James to the 12 tribes.
12 tribes.
Scattered. You understand, this is the time when the Christians were scattered because of the Jewish persecution, were scattered. The false Jews persecuting the true Jews. The false Jews, that in the flesh, persecuted the true Jews, those of the Spirit. Just like Jacob Isaac had two children. Okay, one was Esau, the other was Jacob. And Esau, those who was born of the flesh, persecuted him that was born of the Spirit. You know, the bear, that's what Paul said. So in these days, the days of James, the carnal Israel is persecuting the spiritual Israel.
So James is writing to the spiritual Jews, yeah?
He's writing to the spiritual Jews. So the epistle of James is not written to the Jews who were persecuting the Christian. Of course not. I mean, you can see the whole epistle is written to the Christian. How does he call them? The 12 tribes. In other words, we in Christ are the 12 tribes of Israel in spirit.
In spirit, because that's what I wanted to ask. In the normal geographical flesh situation, the 12 tribes still exist or they don't?
Yes, of course. The carnal Israel who is still rejecting Christ. Your rabbis today, when they hear the name of Christ, they spit on the floor. You know? Mm-hmm. They think the guy's a false prophet. So you can watch Hollywood's movies, mostly made by the Jews who control Hollywood. I mean, they use the name Jesus Christ as a cuss word, as a curse. So it's like the 12 tribes are still there, but that's false Israel. Look, but this is all over the Bible. It's like, it's amazing how the devil has infiltrated the Christian church, and he's trying to turn the Christianity into Judaism again, understand? See, that's where the Jehovah's Witnesses come from. In the Jehovah's Witnesses, they used to be part of the Seventh-day Adventists. In the 1800s, in Brooklyn, they converted many, many, many Jews, so much that they began to change the doctrine into Judaic doctrines. And they said the Seventh-day Adventists didn't want to do that, so there was a big split. It was Russell, a leader, who took a big part of the Seventh-day Adventists, and they became the Jehovah's Witnesses. So they are witnesses of God. They're not the witness of Jesus. You know, I confronted the Jehovah's Witness. I said, you're not Jehovah's Witness. Of course I am. You're not Jehovah's Witness. He said, of course I am. They get upset. You are not. You know, he says in John chapter 1, he says, no one has seen God. How can you be a witness of somebody you didn't see? Okay, but then in Acts 1:8, he says, you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. So we can witness of Jesus because we receive the Spirit of Jesus in our hearts. You cannot witness of Jehovah. You cannot be Jehovah. I mean, I had the one honest lady, Jehovah's Witness, who said, you're right. You're right. I don't know God. Nobody's seen God. That they believe that. Nobody's seen God. How can you witness somebody you don't see?
It's written, yeah.
In fact, they are witness of a false God. The Jehovah, they're witness, not the true Jehovah. So look, conclusion, I just knock it off with this. In Revelation 2:9, that's what Jesus says about the Jews. I know this is this is very offensive, but I'm sorry, you can blame it on God. I mean, he wrote it, okay? So Revelation 2:9, I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy, he's talking to the church of Smyrna, good church. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. It's kind of offensive stuff. Eh? And Revelation 3:9, same scripture, one chapter up. The same music. Behold, now to the other good church, Philadelphia. See, there are only two good churches in Revelation. Seven churches, only two good ones. And only to them he says, those who say they are Jews, they are false. And the true Jews, it's you. The two good churches are the only Jews. Yeah, like a compliment he doesn't even give to the other five. church, Christian church, because they're off the track. So Revelation 3:9 to Philadelphia says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and they are not. Look, he spells it out so clearly. Say they are Jews, but they are not. But do lie, behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet. And to know that I loved it. You remember when Jesus was telling his disciples, the Pharisees, they will be your judges. He was telling the Jews, you shall judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Because the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, it will be composed, made up by us. Those of us who are faithful unto the end are going to judge. Whether we see that? You see that in Daniel chapter 7. You see that in Revelation 20 verse 4. The judgment seat of Christ is going to be the faithful Christians who forsook all, the virgin with oil, who will sit on thrones judging the unfaithful Christians and the unfaithful tribe of Israel.
It's very clear.
I know it's very controversial. It's offensive.
No, there are many scriptures actually that are connected to this and prove that. There are very many scriptures you gave us.
When you read the Revelation chapter 7, the 12 tribes of Israel, you need to read the Christians. Christian Israel, spiritual Israel. These are the Christians. They're not going to be like some false interpretation, some that the Jews will get converted by themselves. These 144,000 will appear from nowhere. Well, that's not the way God works. The 144,000 are not going to be converted by themselves, witnessed by nobody. Romans chapter 10 says, how are they going to believe and nobody evangelized them? Like Jesus took 3.5 years to train 12 disciples. And after 3.5 years, they were still off the track. How is this guy going to get converted by themselves and get tribulations? No, he's going to, because they supposedly the rapture is before. No, the rapture is going to be after. And the Christian, the trained, the veterans, Christian with a lot of experience, will enter the tribulation and serve the Lord thanks to all the experience that God has given them before.
So the Jews in our day is actually the nation, the physical Jews. They have the same chances to salvation like the Gentile nations, basically. They became like the same.
Look, there is no Jew, no Greek. Yeah. We are the same as like a Jew who becomes a Christian is not a millimeter better than a Gentile. He's exactly the same. Because the Jews, they were nobody until God chose them.
So they can go to heaven just through Jesus like everybody else.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you something else concerning the Israel, because in the Christian world, Israel is the holy land and Jerusalem is still the holy city. And considering what you said about the Jews, and it's clear from the scriptures, now I'm doubting, is Israel holy and Jerusalem is still a saint, like such a wonderful place like the Christian world says it, or it doesn't matter, it's just a place like any other on earth?
No, like a physical, political Israel is just like any other country. Because they crucified Jesus, they have not repented yet, and it's not the Holy Land at all. God doesn't have a lot of land. That was the promised land that God promised Abraham.
Yes.
And it was in the Old Testament. But since they crucified Jesus, the Holy Land, it became just a land like everybody else, like anything else. You see, for example, if you go to Revelation 11, it talks about the two prophets. We were reading before. So, in verse 7, it says that the Antichrist, the beast, when the two prophets will finish the testimony, he will kill them. Okay? And verse 8, it says something very interesting, verse 8. See, and their dead bodies, the two witnesses, shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is that, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. What is that? And here gives the explanation. Where also our Lord was crucified. Where was Jesus crucified?
Jerusalem.
So what city is he talking about? Jerusalem. See, that when the Antichrist will stop the daily sacrifice in Jerusalem, the temple, he will place the abomination of desolations in the temple. God will send the two witnesses in Jerusalem to prophesy against the Antichrist, against the abomination, against the Antichrist world, and he's going to prophesy the return of Jesus, The rapture is coming. He's going to they're going to prophesy the destruction of the Antichrist. And he cannot touch him for 3.5 years. In verse 7, when they finish the testimony, how long? 3.5 years. It says in verse 2 and 3, it says, I will give, verse 3, I will give power to my witness. They shall prophesy 1,260 days. In other words, they prophesy 3.5 years. Verse 7, when they finish the testimony, along 3.5 years, they shall be killed. And their dead body shall lie in the streets of a city which is called Sodom and Gomorrah, in the spirit which where Jesus was crucified. It's all in a parable. What it's really saying, they will be killed in Jerusalem. But here is the point. This city, Jerusalem, in the spirit, is called Sodom and Egypt. I mean, a curse which God sent many times in the Old Testament. You read Isaiah, you read Jeremiah 1, Isaiah, it says, you are like Sodom unto me. You're like Sodom. Understand? So today, Israel is not a holy land. It's like Sodom. It's cursed. In fact, if you go to Israel, it's a barren land, desert everywhere, which used to be heaven on earth, okay, in the days of Joshua.
Amazing. And that's why God, in the end, will create a new Jerusalem, but yeah, it will come straight from heaven. It won't be this physical Jerusalem.
Yes, yes, exactly. God will create a new heaven and new earth. And nevertheless, in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12 and 14, it talks about that Jerusalem will again become the center of the world in the millennium. In the millennium, it says in Zechariah, Jerusalem will again be the center. And people
is this
have to
Jerusalem
go,
or New Jerusalem?
No, Jerusalem. No, New Jerusalem comes down after the millennium.
Okay.
Yeah, when Jesus comes back, not the rapture, the next after the rapture goes to heaven, there's a marriage feast,
yes,
in heaven. He comes down at the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19, parallel of Zechariah chapter 12 and 14. And it says that after Armageddon, after God destroys the Antichrist, it says that in Zechariah 14, it says that Jerusalem will become the center of the world. Because then after Armageddon, we know by Revelation chapter 20 that it will be the millennium. So Armageddon, so rapture, wrath of God, Armageddon, millennium. So after Armageddon, in 1,000 years come. So in Zechariah 14, it talks about Armageddon. Okay, and then immediately after Armageddon, Jerusalem becomes the center of the world. Of course, at this point, Jerusalem is converted. Okay, you see that the rapture. You see in Revelation 11, and you see verse 13, Revelation 11 talks about the rapture. Okay, in verse 13 it says at the same hour. The same hour there was a great earthquake. The tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake was slain 7,000, and the remnant, attention, were frightened and gave glory to God. So here the rapture passed. Now there is an earthquake. 7,000 died, probably the people of the Mark of the Beast. And the remnant, without Mark of the Beast, they give glory to God. In Zechariah 14 says the same. You know, after the rapture and Armageddon, they will look unto him whom they pierced, because Jesus comes back.
Mm-hmm.
They look to the crucified who comes back, Jesus. And they get converted. And there should be a great mourning. They lament. Why they lament? They lament because they realize how stupid they've been and rejecting Jesus.
One question. The temple, which we know they will build, will it exist afterwards in the millennium? Or
yes,
what?
It will exist.
For what purpose?
Because during the millennium, the life will continue on earth like it is now. And in fact, there are all the prophecies that you see in Revelation chapter 20 about the devil being in prison for 1,000 years, Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then it continued. It says the saints were judging, and they reigned and ruled with Christ 1,000 years. All those prophecies are not for us anymore, because we'll be in heaven. We'll be the bride of Christ in heaven. We'll be in Jerusalem, which has not come down yet, but is there someplace. We're going to go there. And during the millennium, the life will continue like now. There will not be Antichrist, there will not be devil in prison for 1,000 years. Okay, but the people will continue like now. They get up in the morning, go to work. People who are not saved. People need to be evangelized. And in the world, there's going to be a center. And the center will be near Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem. And in Revelation 20, it says that after 1,000 years, the devil is set free, and he will surround the camp of the saints, Revelation 9:10 over there. But a fire came down from heaven and burned them up, and then there is a white throne judgment. Okay, and let me finish this. I want to make sure it's concluded. So, and then it says it will surround the camp of the saints. The camp of the saints is going to be all Jerusalem. Understand?
Yeah, you said there will be a temple. The temple will be functioning, or what?
The temple is not going to be destroyed by the Antichrist. Nobody will destroy the temple. The temple will remain for people to keep worshiping like they're doing now, like they will do after they build it. Because the people on the earth, they still need the kindergarten rules and laws of the Old Testament and also the New Testament. But the temple will continue. The New Jerusalem will be the center of the world, like it says in Zechariah 14. And that is most probably, that's what it is when it talks in Revelation 20, the city of the saints surrounded by the devil and the Antichrist people after the millennium.
Okay, now we've been reading scriptures and studying that even in our days, we don't need church buildings, like the early Christians were meeting in houses, and that the Lord does not live in temples made with human hands. Why in the millennium we need a temple when everybody will have seen already the Lord coming on the clouds after the rapture and they know everything about the Lord?
Yes.
Why would they need a temple?
Because 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says we are the temple, but it's talking about the saved. Now this temple in Jerusalem is going to be for the people who are unsaved. See, the people are unsaved, which will be most of humanity. People who are unsaved, they still need a temple.
And these are those left after the mark of the beast.
Exactly.
Okay.
After Armageddon. Yeah. After Armageddon, we destroy the Antichrist, etc. And there will be some survivors, not many. Very few will survive. Mm-hmm. There will be very, very, very few left to survive the tribulation, Armageddon. Very few. Only in one war, I say, the Revelation chapter 9, 2 billion will be killed. I expect to be very few. So they need the temple. They need like a kindergarten Old Testament religion, because the New Testament, and like we are the temple, that applies only to the Christian. But the unsaved, they still need the Old Testament temple.
I understand. So how come you're saying that in the millennium many people will be unsaved? Because if Jerusalem gets the remnant in Jerusalem gets converted when they see Jesus coming on the cloud, like you read in Revelation 11, then why not the whole world when they see Jesus coming on the clouds and it says the whole world will see him? Why don't they get converted? They say that seeing is believing in the world, so shouldn't they all get saved?
Okay, see, in Revelation 11, it says 7,000 are killed in the earthquake, probably the ones with the mark of the beast. The rest, the remnant, give glory to God. That shows that most Israel will not receive the mark of the beast. Attention. Okay, I think the mark of the beast will be more and more pushed toward the end of the tribulation. So, the thing is that those people, the remnant, this is after the rapture. So they get converted, they get saved in Christ, they become Christian, but they don't get raptured. They live into the millennium. So for the Jews who get converted to Jesus, yes, for them, they will understand that the temple of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. And they will live and worship Jesus in spirit and truth, not necessarily in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But for the people who are not Jews, the people of the world, people, the children of the mark of the beast people or whatever, they don't get converted when Jesus comes back. They remain unconverted. In fact, in Zechariah, I think 12 and 14, it talks about the people of the earth, including Egypt, etc., does not come and worship God in the temple. God will curse them with drought. They will not reign in the nations. So during the millennium, it's like most of the nation, they'll be forced to worship the king, to worship Jesus.
So they won't get converted when they see Jesus coming on the clouds?
No, they will not get converted. Like Jesus said in the Luke 16 to the rich man in hell, he said, oh, I have brethren, or you know, I want them, if a man comes back from the dead, they will get, let me go and witness to them. If they see a man coming from the dead, they will get converted, so they don't come in this terrible place. And Jesus said that if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe even though a man comes back from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they see the rapture, even though they see Armageddon, even though they see Jesus, they will not get converted, because conversion is by faith, it's not by sight. Right? In 2 Corinthians 5, I think verse 8, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes. Like by sight, nobody gets converted. God makes sure, God sees to that, and nobody gets converted by sight. During the millennium, most people, exactly the same proportion like now, they don't get converted.
But they will know there is a God? They will know.
Oh, yeah, but they hate him. Ah. They hate him, and they don't get, they forcefully, forcibly, they have to submit and stop the violence, stop the pollution, stop the wars. But they, as soon as they get a chance, they will go back to the unregenerated, wicked heart. In fact, it says in Revelation 20, after the devil is being set free, after the millennium is liberated from his prison, he will go around the whole world and deceive the world again. And they all come and surround New Jerusalem, they surround the city of the saints, which according to Zechariah 14 is Jerusalem, old Jerusalem, and to try to destroy them. Understand? But at this point, it says Revelation 20, fire comes down from heaven and devours them. And the devil is cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophets are, Antichrist and the false prophets. And the devil is cast into the lake of fire. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And then there is a white throne judgment. Everybody is judged according to their works. And then anybody who's not written the book of life, not the book of the Lamb, in the book of life, is cast into the lake of fire. And the ones who, by the skin of the teeth, survive such a judgment, that will be another teaching we're going to do another time, they go into the new earth. Because next chapter, Revelation 21, talks about new heaven, new Jerusalem, and new earth. So the new earth, which is not New Jerusalem, people are going to believe, are going to be living in it exactly like now. Okay, there'll be days of 24 hours, week of 7 days. They will work, they will love, they will hate. They need to be regenerated and healed spiritually by the leaves of the tree of life. Revelation 22, verse 2. Because if you read the Revelation 22, verse 15, you see that the people there, they need healing desperately. They are still very, very sinful. Anyway, we'll get into this another time. Amen.